Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the second Sunday of Advent. We're very grateful to everybody who's added to our decoration collection. And you're welcome for a cup of tea after the service. There'll be no R&View Christmas service today, as we would normally have, but it will be postponed for 2 weeks, the Sunday before Christmas. On Wednesday, midweek worship at 11, the guilds in the area are meeting together on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. This is an Advent service in our dear parish church. So there's not a guild in the evening. Also, the Scottish Country Dancing is not on this coming Wednesday. Thursday at 10:30, the congregation's prayer time together. And on Friday at 7 o'clock in Audrey Scott's house, we're having our Advent group. So you're all welcome to join us for that. Next Sunday, we'll have lessons and carols, followed by a special tea featuring mince pies and shortbread. I commend to you the food bank at this Christmas season. And also, I mentioned it last week, the presbytery of Ardrossan is twinned with the presbytery of Malala in Malawi. And we thought it would be a nice Christmas gift to give to the folk of Malawi, mosquito nets. It's £5 to buy a net for a family, and it protects them from malaria, which is one of the world's most prolific killers. So it says in these cards, if you give £5, you get a card, and it says, this will protect them against diseases that mosquitoes carry. Up to 500 million cases occur every year, 90% of them in Africa, and up to 2.7 million deaths every year. So when we're spending a lot of money at Christmas, £5 doesn't seem much to save lives. It can go a long way in another country. If you'd like to donate £5, please see me or Kathleen McElreevy, our presbytery elder, at the end of the service, and we'll give you a card. The other thing was, we mentioned last week, there are these cards with pictures of our church on the front and a Bible text on the back for giving away to people. It was so popular last week, we've run out. But we'll be ordering a new batch, so watch out for them coming soon. Kirkgate Parish Church is having what they call a Blue Christmas service on Sunday, the 15th of December, next Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's for anybody who's having a blue time at this Christmas because of bereavement or some other problems. The Park Church and Kirkgate Church are having a joint Christmas praise night on Thursday the 19th at 7 o'clock in the Park Church. I also just mention that those mosquito nets, Heather Spears here, she took some of those cards to the James Reed School, and she sold quite a few of them there. So we're very grateful to Heather and to the school for doing that. And one other thing was, going back in my order of service here. I've forgotten. It'll come to me during the first hymn. Right. These are all the intimations. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Let's sing to his praise and glory, hymn 174, while humble shepherds watch their flocks.
Thank you.
Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Jesus is here right now in Saltcoats with us. And one day in the future, he will come and it will be the end of the world and we'll go to heaven. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious Lord God, we adore you because you have come to us in the past. You have spoken to us in the Old Testament and in the Law of Israel. You have challenged us in the words of the prophets. You have shown us, as Jesus, what you're really like. Lord God, we adore you because you still come to us, even now. You come to us through other people and their love and concern for us. You come to us through men and women who need our help. You come to us in worship, in word and sacrament. Lord God, we adore you because you will come to us at the end. You will be with us at the hour of our death. You will still reign supreme when all human institutions fail. You will still be God when our history has run its course and when the world ends. We welcome you, the God who came, the God who comes, the God who will come again. O Lord our God, we wait upon you right now, right here. We come to your house like the humble shepherds came to the stable. We come to you like the wise men seeking to worship you. We come to you like the blind, the deaf, the lame, the mentally ill, like they all came to you for healing. We come to you like so many others, wanting love and forgiveness and acceptance and a new start. And we discover that while we're coming to you, it's more true that you're coming to us. You come all the way from heaven to earth. You come right down into the most messy of stables. You come to needy souls because you are the Savior of the world. You are called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You are Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You are Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. You are the way, the truth, and the life for us. You are the bread of life, our basic necessity. You are the resurrection and the life, the one who gives us strength beyond our own strength, who gives us bounce back ability and new life, eternal life. We thank you for loving us and forgiving us and for coming to us, not just the first Christmas, not even just this Christmas, but every day until the end of days and forever and ever. Lord, hear us as we pray together the words which you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we've got our decorations, and the excitement is mounting. And there's folk been adding to the collection. And there's one other one over here, the Advent candles. So I'd like to ask Alison if she would light two candles, since it's the second Sunday of Advent, two of our purple ones. Last week we lit number one. That was to remind us of, anybody remember? The prophets. For 750 years before the event, they were saying it was going to happen. The second one is for... Sorry. It's got a catch. Catch. There we go. You just fiddle till it works. Alison's representing the Sunday school in doing this. We're grateful to her and everybody that works with the Sunday school. So, the first one was the prophets. The second one... the second one is where it all happened. Bethlehem, right, very good. And I won't tell you next week, till next week, yeah. Right. The evergreen is a picture of everlasting life, Jesus coming to give us eternal life. Purple is the colour of royalty. So Jesus is the King. Christmas is full of surprises, especially on Christmas Day when you open up wrapped up presents. But there's all kinds of surprises in Christmas. You get surprises in how nice people are. People that can be crabby all year, they're nicer at Christmas, you notice that? So going back to the original Christmas story, can you think of the surprises, and there are lots of them in the Christmas story. Any offers? Can you tell me any surprises in the first Christmas? Anybody like to help? When you think of the story there, right? You've got it on the quilt as well. Well, let's take it in stages. Mary got a surprise. What was Mary's surprise? She got a baby boy. Who told her? So, see, we take the story for granted. But according to the story, an angel popped up and said to Mary, you're going to have a baby boy. That was a surprise for Mary. More of a surprise than you can imagine. Joseph got a surprise. He got an angel as well. So, having got their surprise, their other surprise was they weren't able to get their baby at home. They had to go far away to Bethlehem, which is a long way away if you don't have a car, because there aren't any cars invented or any roads. So they had a donkey, and it's a long way in a donkey, 80 miles. It's from here to Stirling. And so the Romans threw in the spanner in the works, and you'll have to go to Bethlehem. When they got to Bethlehem, they got a surprise. What was the surprise in Bethlehem? There was no rooms left. But then somebody helped them to get somewhere, and that was a surprise. Where did they end up? They weren't expecting that. They were expecting the Premier Inn. But they didn't have any Premier Inns in those days. So then they're in a stable. What was the next surprise? They got visitors. Right, so they had the wise men and they had the shepherds. If you go back into their story, what was their biggest surprise? But who told them it was in a stable? They were minding their own business. Somehow they ended up in a stable, which was a surprise to them. Well, the shepherds were watching their flocks when angels appeared. And the wise men got lost, but they went to the wrong place. They got a star, The more you think of that story, the more surprises you'll find. The biggest surprise is Jesus. Jesus appears on earth. He's planned it for centuries, from all time. Up in heaven, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to come down and fix it. And ends up, it looks like a series of mistakes. But it wasn't a mistake. He chose to come. He chose when to come, where to come, how to come. It wasn't a surprise to him, but he's a surprise to us. We don't expect Jesus to appear that way, that time, in that style. Jesus still comes all day, every day, and he still surprises us by the ways that he comes and how he comes. But when you find that he comes, we all go home rejoicing, like the wise men, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and everybody else that met him. So be aware that this week, it's not a baby in a manger here. There's a real Jesus who's in Salt Coats, who's actually in Salt Coats, North Parish Church this morning with us. But he just comes in ways that surprises us. It's hard to explain that, but you ask anybody and everybody, we've all got our stories of just how we have little private jokes together, of how he suddenly appears and surprises us. I got a phone call with a person that says, do you know anybody that could benefit from having a hamper this Christmas? A wee box full of goodies. Somebody that's poor, somebody that's on their own, somebody that's particularly sad. Anybody says, if I give you the hamper, would you give it to somebody? Because I don't want them to know who it is. Isn't that Jesus coming to people through that somebody? And that's only one example. Another one this week, somebody in the church today got a £20 note in their front door, just dropped in. No explanations, it just appeared. And somebody was thinking about them, obviously. Somebody knew they needed a £20 note this week. And it's amazing, we'll never know all these stories. I get a wee sample of them. But there are lots of stories where Christmas is being very real right now, with real people sitting here today. You can join that club and you can be giving surprises to other people this Christmas. Think about that. You can be Jesus to others. Let's sing together hymn 193, Once in Royal David City, and we'll miss out verse 3, miss out the third verse. And I'm going to do what I've just said and give you a wee surprise while you're singing it. Right. There's a wee present. A wee present.
Well, I remember them.
There's a wee present. Have I missed somebody? Thank you. Now let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and at verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all that they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. And then turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. "We want you to know the truth about those who have died, so that you will not be sad, as are those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we also believe that God will take back with Jesus those who have died believing in him. What we are teaching you now is the Lord's teaching. We who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. So then encourage one another with these words. There is no need to write to you, brothers, about the times and occasions when these things will happen. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief comes in the night. When people say everything is quiet and safe, then suddenly destruction will hit them. It will come as suddenly as the pains that come upon a woman in labor, and people will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness, and the day should not take you by surprise like a thief." Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 170, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." So we're in the run-up to the general election on Thursday. We're in the run-up to Christmas at the same time. We live in a strange world of uncertainty. We don't know where everything's going to, what things are going to crack up and collapse and what things are going to survive. And there's a lot of things going on at the moment. But let's think particularly about the Christmas excitement. Children's anticipation and maybe greed is rising. The TV adverts are increasingly focusing on people and getting them when they're vulnerable. The commercial cathedral's in full swing, the tills are clinking. Christmas shoppers are going through the streets like ants carrying packages twice their own weight. Postmen buckling at the knees. Turkeys are quivering with nerves, reaching breaking point. Some things are in the air. Everything's in the air. There's excitement. There's anticipation. There's expectancy. In terms of the politics, there might be dread. People are beavering away purposefully, or at least they're going in circles rather fast. They're wending their ways through the Christmas-decorated streets. We're coming up to Christmas, celebrating an event 2,000 years ago when God burst into space and time. But we're also celebrating not just a distant fact. We're celebrating today because God is in Saltcoats in 2019. This God is alive and kicking here and now. And there's a dimension for the future that we often neglect, and I want to focus on it today. This baby in the manger, who was crucified and resurrected, will return again. At his ascension, it was said, he will return as you've seen him go. He will appear, but it'll be very different when he comes the next time. The whole world will bow down. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So let's think about this second coming as well. What's the world coming to, people will ask. Well, what the world's coming to, from a Christian point of view, is the second coming. I had a conversation last night on the phone with someone who's having a hard time in their life. And they look around at the state of the world, they look around the state of their own life. And they say, what's the world coming to? Well, there is good news, the good news of the baby in the manger, but there's the good news of the God who is with us as we walk through the valley. And there is the good news that all things are in God's hands and ultimately he's in control. And there is an eternal destiny to look forward to be dreaded by some, but to be looked forward to by others. Our expectancy for Christmas is mirrored by our expectancy of Jesus' return and the expectancy that there was before Jesus was born. The Old Testament is full of passages about the coming of the Messiah, who would be coming as the day of the Lord, who would usher in a golden age. The wicked would get their comeuppance, the good would be rewarded. Israel would not be underdogs but top dogs. There are lots of passages in the Old Testament. Hosea 7. They cheat one another. They break into houses and steal. They rob people in the streets. It never enters their heads that I will remember all this evil. Amos 6. You refuse to admit that a day of disaster is coming. But what you do only brings that day closer. Your feasts and banquets will come to an end. Habakkuk 2, the time is coming quickly. The long-awaited day of the Lord would see God re-establish his control over his reckless world. And then Isaiah says, wolves and sheep will live together in peace. Calves and lion cubs will feed together. There'll be nothing harmful or evil. Isaiah says again, The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap. And then Jesus appeared. And the New Testament speaks about, and Jesus spoke about, the kingdom of God has come. Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about, at the end of time, he would be the shepherd separating the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the weeds, if he's a farmer. Paul says to Timothy, remember that there will be difficult times in the last days. Paul says to the Thessalonians, on the day that the Lord comes, there will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's put very poetically and dramatically. But just sheer logically, we know the world has a limited lifespan. Scientists, cosmologists will tell you, even if you believe in banging and evolving, it has a limit. It's obvious. Everything has a limit. Everything's perishable. It's just obvious, if you look around today, you could give 20 good reasons why the world will finish very soon. And without going worldwide, just our own lives, one of the most basic facts we tend to ignore is that we're all perishable. We're all finite creatures. We do die. This is not pie in the sky. This is not theorizing. It's just the basic truth facts of life. There does come an end. The Christmas carols, for all their light and joyfulness, every one of them is packed with this truth. They pack a big punch under the velvet glove. Once in Royal David's city, and our eyes at last shall see him. For the child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. It came upon the midnight clear. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold. As with gladness men of old, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last, where no clouds thy glory hide. In the heavenly country bright, there forever may we sing alleluias to our King. Preaching about the second coming and the future has often been very badly preached. It's been used as a stick to beat the donkey. It ought to be preached as a carrot for the donkey. In the middle of all the traumas and stresses of our daily lives, seeing the world all around us going crazy in different ways, realize that God is in control. Our ending will be our beginning. The end of this life will be the end of the womb and will be born to a new life. It doesn't have to wait till the end to get it. We begin eternal life here and now. Christmas is an experience every day of our lives. Jesus in our stable. It's not for one season only. It's good news that God comes for the day of the Lord. It's bad news for those who do not accept him and love him and follow him. But for those who do love him, the good news is he's here with us, for us. The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. The wise men, the shepherds, when the penny dropped, went home rejoicing. That's the real excitement of Christmas. Are you really expecting and not going to be surprised to have Jesus with you this Christmas? That one who was a baby in a manger, in your house, in Saltcoats, right now. in your heart right now, in your bloodstream. It's not just sentimental slush. How aware are you of the coming of Jesus and his ultimate coming at the end of time, end of history? Even just yesterday, I was speaking to someone, and they were conscious of that. In my home village in Inveralachie, there was a couple lying in bed on a Saturday morning, and they heard the trumpet sound. And without speaking to each other, their mind just immediately went to the second coming. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, we'll meet the Lord in the sky. So they jumped out of bed, as they were, didn't pause to put on all their clothes, in their pyjamas, they ran down the stairs, out into the street, to be met by Jesus for the second coming. Well, it turned out to be the ragman. But their first thought, and their simultaneous thought, the two of them, was the second coming, not the ragman. If we could live in that heightened awareness of the coming of Jesus, it would change our daily lives. My dad told me about when he was a boy of 7, his mum came rushing into the house, and without any explanation, "Come on, son." And she dragged them outside, and they're standing at the front door, and there's a big bright light in the sky, and they're looking at it, and he's looking at her, "What's this about?" And she just briefly explained, "It's the end of the world." And he was a bit gobsmacked, and he just tried to take in the end of the world, big light. But nothing was ever seeming to happen for ages. The end of the world's taking a long time, Mom. It turned out to be the first searchlight in the Second World War at their village, their wee aerodrome. He'd never seen a searchlight before. But again, his mother's first impression was second coming. I was brought up in a rarefied atmosphere of a very Christian community. And instinctively they would think like that. Try and see Christmas in its three dimensions: the past, the present, and the future. But as a trinity, it's seamless. It's one God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always is in our stables. He always has loved us, will love us. There's a continuity about it. And when the penny drops on that, it really enriches this Christmas and every day of our lives and our whole eternity. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we wish it could be Christmas every day. And we thank you for the reality that it can be. You are here every day. We are here every day. And you can work in us and brighten up our stable. And you can use us to brighten up one another's stables. So take our time, our talents, our money, our lives, and use them for the spread of your good news and for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Let's sing hymn 200, As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, there was mounting excitement for centuries as Israel awaited the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. Prophets foretold that you would come and sort out the world, right the wrongs, bringing justice and peace and a new world order. The bad would get their comeuppance, the faithful and the good would get their reward. When you came, you did change the world, and you changed individual lives. Your kingdom was not a worldly, political, territorial, material kingdom, but rather a kingdom of individual hearts and minds and souls. One by one, the new converts are added to your disciple band. Still today your church stands and grows. Day by day you come to us, quietly and humbly. Your style is that of the manger, the towel, and the cross. And day by day you are crucified and worshipped, betrayed and followed, denied and adored, till one day you will be seen in all your glory. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Lord Jesus, help us, your church, right here and right now, as we seek to live for you in this time between the times of your first coming and your second coming. And hear us as we pray for our particular needs this week. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Jim Forsyth and Peter Curran. We pray for Harry Duff. We pray for Lucille Stringer, Mabel Carson, George Murray, and Mamie Hamilton. We pray for your blessing on Maureen Turner and Fraser Mitchell. And we pray for your comfort and peace upon all those who are bereaved. We pray for Susan Gill, mourning the loss of her nephew Bruce, who died at the age of 57. We pray for your blessing on Moyer Conway, whose mum died this week, Morag Conway. Morag sang in the choir. Her husband Hugh was our organist for 40 years. We pray for the wider world too. We think of Australia with 100 bushfires raging. One of them is bigger than the city of Sydney. 2,000 firefighters are struggling to cope. It's been 5 weeks now. We pray for East Africa with cyclones and floods affecting several countries, affecting 2 million people. 30,000 people displaced by landslides, over 300 killed. And we think of the rising tension and violence in the Middle East, where war is looming again. We think of the friction in Hong Kong, the national strikes in France, and the oceans are heating up and losing oxygen. We pray for our own country as we go to the polls on Thursday. We think of the Brexit issue. Be with us in this time of uncertainty. May your will be done. And we pray for your church. As a presbytery, we pray for Kilwinning Mansfield Trinity and the Reverend Hilary Beresford. But we pray for our own congregation and all your people around the world. Use us in your service, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 183, Good Christian Men Rejoice, 183.
Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Thank you.
And now may the joy that the angels sang about, the fulfillment which the prophets spoke about, and the presence of God which the Gospels write about, be yours this Christmas and always.